There's an exchange there. You're giving, to your point, a little bit of your freedom away to the government. Yep. What is the exchange you're willing to make where you can still feel like a free citizen and then you're depending on the government for certain things? Zach Abraham, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Yeah.
Good to be back.
I love the State
nothing
of the
to talk about today.
No, nothing at all. I love the State of the Union now more so since I don't have TDS. I've shed my full-blown TDS, so now I can laugh along, and I just love his little interjections and stuff. I thought for Trump, it was a very good speech. More on the rails than it normally is.
That is the model of a Trump that you'd like to see a lot more of.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, I'm just a big believer when your enemy is destroying themselves, don't interrupt, you know, and you're sitting there going, just, you don't need to, you know, it's like Massey, no, not Massey, but like Kennedy says, you know, about AOC, it's like Operation Let Her Talk.
Yeah.
Just, you don't need to say anything. Just do sane, rational policy and let these people keep sitting and not applauding when you say that you don't want children to be ripped out of the arms of parents and sexually mutilated without parental consent.
Yeah.
Let them own that.
But surely we can all agree no state can be allowed to rip children from their parents' arms and transition them to a new gender against the parents' will. Who would believe that we've been talking about this? We must ban it, and we must ban it immediately. Look, nobody stands up. These people are crazy. I'm telling you, they're crazy.
Let them own their position and let them explain it to the American people.
Yeah, he was very disciplined in that regard. And, you know, the whole line, of course, everybody's talking about, stand with me if you believe that our fundamental, you know, obligation is to Americans and not illegals. How can you not? Even if you want to put a dumb look on your face, like, well, yeah, of course it is. But they couldn't even do that.
That was a crazy moment.
Crazy.
That was a crazy moment.
It sums up the mindset that drove me, I think, into the arms of voting for Trump.
Well, the other thing I said, I did another one of these interviews earlier today, and we were talking about the same thing. And one of the other things I said was, you know, thank God these people have no intellectual discipline and no self-control. Because if they did, they'd be much, I mean, they'd probably win every election. You know what I mean? Like, they are so deranged in terms of their hatred for Donald Trump. It's like they have no acknowledgement of what they're embracing instead of him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And they don't realize how much worse it makes them look if they don't stand up. Like, they think they're sticking it to Trump by not standing up for the mom of the Ukrainian girl who was stabbed to death on a train. Like, you think that makes Trump look bad if you don't stand up? No, that makes you look bad. So you could just totally take the wind out of his sails by just, yes, let's stand up at moments it makes to stand up. And if you really are opposed to his policy, don't. But instead, like, they think they're taking a stand by sitting down, and it just makes them look foolish. And I don't understand how they haven't figured that out.
I know, but thank God they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I was sitting there watching it going, I am appalled by what they're doing. At the same time, thank God they're doing it.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's such bad, like, it, and it shows, like, if you were on the left and you don't really think that Trump derangement syndrome is real, like, there you go. There's your perfect example, because it's a horrible political move. Horrible.
Yeah.
By them. The optics are awful. They did not gain a single vote last night. They only lost them.
Right.
Now, maybe they didn't lose a ton. I don't know. But you're just like, you guys, man, thank God you're bent on your own destruction, because if you were smarter, you'd be a problem.
Well, and it's not like they're not capable of standing up. I mean, I don't mean physically, but in the moment, I mean, they stood up when Trump said he wants to ban, you know, members of Congress from insider trading, and they stood up, and yeah, Elizabeth Warren, you know, had a goofy look on his face, like, well, of course, but they could have done that for a million things. So they were willing to stand up on some things, but the really obvious stuff, they just gave him so much ammunition for the midterms. Let me ask you about a few of his economic policies, because there was one that came up last night, and I have a lot of questions about how they would plan to implement it and who would qualify, but it has to do with extending the 401k match that federal workers get for Americans that aren't getting a match from their employer. Here's what he said.
Since I took office, the typical 401k balance is up by at least 30,000
dollars. It's a lot of money. We have millions and millions of people, because the stock market has done so well, setting all those records. Your 401ks are way up. Yet half of all of working Americans still do not have access to a retirement plan with matching contributions from an employer. To remedy this gross disparity, I'm announcing that next year my administration will give these oft-forgotten American workers, great people, the people that built our country, access to the same type of retirement plan offered to every federal worker. We will match your contribution with up to $1,000 each year.
You know, you like the idea of it because they don't have access to a plan and, you know, it'll help people out. The flip side is, though, is that by and large, I'm not really that interested in taking financial responsibility off the shoulders of the corporations themselves.
Sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? The minute I say that, I'm sure that there are exceptions where this is perfectly warranted and it's a good thing. But you know, one of the things that I am sympathetic to that would be considered more of a leftist type thought, which is, I'm anything but a leftist, but the idea that I don't think corporations are looting us per se, but I think the vast majority of large corporations are not fulfilling their obligation.
Sure.
To the country. A lot of it is our fault with a ridiculous tax code that has been designed by elites and rich people to be able to give them advantages and it's true. Like, I'm a guy in the industry and I'm just telling you, the more you understand the tax code, the more you understand it was written and built for rich people, not for commoners. So I like the idea that there are people that will benefit from that. I'm not in favor of anything right now that just it increases government spending.
Yeah, it just gifts.
It's not
gifts.
It's not the direction we should be going. But you know, devil's in the details. We'll see how it's funded, how they look at it. You know, how it's composed. But you know, just so many of these things. Again, I'm not opposed to it on the face of it, but so many of these things are band-aids, and we're not addressing the actual real underlying problems. And so, I'm on the fence for now, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, and it's like if you look at the Trump accounts for kids, you know, and the fact that you've got private corporations that are contributing to those. So sort of a different scenario. So yeah, I have questions about who exactly would qualify for this. And then also, are there benefits when it comes to entitlements later in life? If you have these people who suddenly have a retirement, some semblance of a retirement savings, so they're not relying too heavily on handouts and entitlements when they're elderly, because that is a situation so many Americans are just careening toward, is they'll have nothing for retirement. So is there an offset there where it's worth it for the government to invest up front and help them save for retirement? But then honestly, you're kind of getting into sort of a socialism type situation where the government's like, to each according to their need, you know?
Yeah. And look, and this is what takes you back to that we have to go back to all the time. And this is one of the things that frustrates me the most, where every time we sit down and we talk about policy, we should start that discussion the same way, which is, hey, let's remind ourselves what is of the utmost importance to us. And as Americans, when we look at the way the country was founded, the composition of the Constitution, right? What is, we have decided, and rightfully so, I think that all of the outcomes from America would reinforce the fact that we picked it correctly, which is we value personal freedoms above all else, with the full knowledge that there is cost that comes with that, right? What are the costs that comes with it? Money distributed unequally.
Yeah.
Right? Like, some people having more, some people are having a lot. Right? There are these costs, competition, right? There are these costs that come with it. But we choose it because its costs, speaking about capitalism and free market, are lower than everybody else's.
Right.
Right? So let's quit talking. Let's be adults and let's not have conversations that are the economic equivalent of how can we eat as much sugar as we want and not get fat?
Yeah.
Right? That's a waste of time. Let's have a conversation about, hey, is it more important for us to sit back on the couch and feel good about ourselves because we just voted another handout or largesse to another group of people? Or do we care more about preserving the rights of the individual? And is that of the utmost importance?
Yeah.
And I would just say, if you need help on making that decision, And it's not an easy decision. If you're a thoughtful human being, I think that you should think these things through. But, you know, I'd say that the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah. Well, and every time you take kind of a freebie from the government, there's an exchange there. You're giving, to your point, a little bit of your freedom away to the government. Yep. And so what is, I mean, there are some things that to function as a society, you know, the government has to participate in. But what is the exchange you're willing to make where you can still feel like a free citizen and then you're depending on the government for certain things? So there's that element of it. One other economic policy. Now, he's already signed this, but he brought it up. And I thought this got a pretty good, I think some Democrats did applaud for this. I don't see how they couldn't, but it wasn't everyone. So this idea of stopping these major corporations from, you know, widespread purchase of single family homes. Here he is.
I signed executive order to ban large Wall Street investment firms from buying up in the thousands single family homes.
Do you have any problems with that? Like on meddling in the market?
Yeah, and that's the only problem I have with it in terms of I'm just a big believer in free markets and the efficiencies that come with them. The problem is I think that we've made choices as a country and as a society that are not congruent with each other. Meaning, when you look at some of the, let's look at banks, for instance. Okay, post 2008, 2009, if you were a Fed member bank, it's effectively impossible for you to go bankrupt, right? The Fed is fully backing you, okay? On top of that, you've got access to the cheapest capital ever, right? Via the Fed.
Yeah.
You look at all the advantages they've got, and then so you look at the ways that we've usurped in certain areas free markets, right? And then you sit there and go, oh, well, it's a free market. You go, yeah, but it's not, because those people are not playing by the same rules that other people are playing. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think it's a more complicated question than that. Am I, as a free market guy, do I feel myself pulled toward the point of view of just, well, if there's an opportunity and the corporations want to do that, they should be able to do it. Sure. I do feel that compulsion. But when you look at the two-tiered system that's been set up in our economy, the fact that if you're a Fed member bank, you have significantly more privileges and abilities than a non-Fed member bank. You look at you look at all these things together, and I do think that it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. I would do it differently though. What I would say is probably something more along the lines of, you know, certain entities are not allowed to come in and buy new construction, existing construction. Mm-hmm. But if they want to buy a piece of land and build up some homes on their own, they want to build them themselves.
Right.
That's a different, that to me is a different thing.
Yeah. And I think it is different under what he's sort of talking about. Like, he doesn't want them to come in and just pick up
Yeah. So here's a perfect example for the people that are like, let the free markets do the work.
Right.
And you're like, when? And they're like, well, like in the 50s. And I'm going to sit there and go, okay, look, buddy, in the 50s, you didn't have people stacking 1,000 of these mortgages together, securitizing them and selling them off.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I mean is, like, that's a perfect example of how much the world has changed then. And so if we keep going back and saying, you know, well, let free markets figure it out, you're going, well, yeah, but we don't play by the same rules we did then.
Yeah.
Right. So it's different all the way around. So I'm not huge in favor of one way or the other. I think if you put a gun to my head, I'd say probably in favor of it.
Yeah. I mean, so, free market with guardrails, right? There's got to be. I mean, look at, you know, trying to stop China from buying up a bunch of farmland. I mean, I know there's national security interests, but it's also in the interests of American farmers and, you know, stopping Chinese nationals from buying up real estate as investments in America and leaving the home sitting there vacant while people don't have a house. I mean, reasonable guardrails are fine. It's still a free market, but it's like,
I agree with
that. Let's not fall off
a
cliff. All right, I have to play this for you in our segment, Watchdoggin'. So we, of course, are in the middle of this income tax debate in Washington state. They're calling it a millionaire's tax, just an income tax on everyone eventually. So there were a ton of people who signed in against the income tax. And it just is a way for citizens to go online and say they're for or against something if they can't, you know, show up and actually testify in the state capitol. So there's all this debate over whether, you know, there was so much opposition to the income tax because they were bots or whatever it is. Okay, I don't even care about that because it's so stupid. But I was in Olympia and I was at a press conference with the Democratic leadership, and this conversation around these sign-ins, pro and con, kept coming up. I want you to listen to how Democratic leadership dismisses the importance of this sort of input from the people they serve.
You shouldn't really pay attention to that kind of dialogue because of the risks of multiple sign-ins.
The main antidote to this is just to take with a grain of salt the numbers.
This system was not set up to be like a voting where people count sign-ins as votes.
I don't think everyone who's signing in support or opposition is actually reading the bill. So I think you gotta take it for what it's worth. And it's not like we are making decisions not to pass a bill because of a sign-in. So we'll take it with a grain of salt. They're not really helping us make decisions. We rely on people who actually come and testify.
We don't, in that process, pay attention to people who sign in but not to testify. You just have to take it for what it was worth.
Have you ever heard something so condescending?
Well, yeah. Oh, first of all, we don't know how credible they are. How about the 11 votes you've had statewide where this has been shot down?
Right.
Hey, 11 votes. Mm-hmm. I am so, I'm going to try not to yell.
You can yell.
I am so tired of listening to totalitarians warn us about totalitarianism. When your constituency votes against a single proposition 11 times and you end around them, you are the totalitarian that you fear. Full freaking stop.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable to me. We're gonna make up all, they go, well, those aren't the people we listen to. You should be listening to your constituents.
Everyone.
Your job. Yeah, we did not hire you to bring in experts that you think are important. We hired, and this is what infuriates me about the electorate in this state. I look at them and I go, I don't care whether you're red or blue or whatever color you wanna be. What you want is being completely railroaded and run over the top of by the people that you continue to put into office. So like you and I have said before, don't switch parties. But if you're gonna go blue, put blue people in that actually care about democracy and the sanctity of the vote. Like, I don't even need you to change policies. Keep believing all the things you wanna believe. But for God's sakes, when, like, how do you continue to vote for people that run over the top of the vote that you cast?
Yeah.
I just, again, I'm not asking you to elect a bunch of Ron Pauls and Thomas Massies in Washington State. I'm asking you to elect leaders that care about your vote. Like, what? Just, I don't get it. Well, I don't get it.
That value input. I mean, they literally didn't even hide it. Just, oh, we don't care. We don't care if 100,000 people sign in against our income tax. That doesn't matter to us anyway. I mean, the most condescending.
And condescending, and listen to them talk. Mm. This is like the backups for the JV team on the intellectual squad.
Yeah.
Right? These people are barely above keeping their own life systems functioning. I mean, these are the dregs. They are painful to listen to. Their own mothers would think they're stupid. And to sit there and listen to the drivel and nonsense come out of their mouths when they are the totalitarians that they accuse Donald Trump of constantly.
Yeah.
Like, oh, he's threatening democracy. What do you call going over the top of 11 freaking votes?
Yep.
11 votes. What is that? Oh, yeah, you're the paragon of democracy and virtue. It is the most disgusting. Again, I'm not even arguing about the outcomes, right? I'm just sitting there saying, how can you roll over the top of 11 votes? Now, they're like, well, this alone doesn't mean anything. No, but I'd say that outpouring of the people voting no with the previous 11 votes, that's a pretty good indicator.
Yeah. Every test there's been, people have said, no, no, no. And now you're acting like, oh, you know. I mean, at least they're being honest, right? At least they're being honest and saying, hey, we don't care. We don't care what you say.
I am really close to flipping on this one. I am really close to becoming an advocate of this tax.
Just so you can watch it all burn down?
Do it. Do it. Go ahead and do it. And I'm going to laugh in your face as it burns, because you're too stupid to function in the adult plane. Go have fun. Have a ball.
But how do you really feel about it, Zach? How do you really feel?
Do you hear what I'm saying, though?
Yes,
it's not even like in a disagreement on the thing. Look, I chose to live in this state. If you guys want to pass stupid policy, that's fine. If I don't like it, I can leave. Mm-hmm. All about that, right? Why don't any of you care that they run over the top of your votes?
Yeah, because Donald Trump is bad and scary, Zach. Donald Trump is bad and scary.
Oh, my God. And then that's how you get an entire... The most incredible thing that I saw, and it's not surprising, but it's just still really incredible. And we are going to not allow any more for states to rip children out of the arms of their parents and sexually mutilate them without parental consent. Not a single one of them stands up.
Yeah.
And you're like, guys, say that out loud a few more times. For God's sakes, cognitive dissonance has robbed all of you of your ability to think. Listen to what he just said. We're not asking for the world here, man.
No.
And not a single one of them stands up and applauds. Their parents.
Lost
their parents.
Minds. Lost their minds. Yeah. I lost their minds. And you know, the scary part is Republicans could still lose the midterms. And there's that many people who have been spun up about Donald Trump that they find Donald Trump more scary than a party that's okay with ripping kids out of homes to transition their gender.
I hear you, but it also makes me ticked at Donald, right? And the reason I say that is because, look, they're going to oppose him no matter what. We all know that. But just there's so many, the Epstein, quit loading your enemy's gun for you.
Yeah.
Fry everybody connected to Epstein. Send Lutnick packing now. Don't give up the moral, right? Because what you're seeding is the moral initiative.
Yeah.
We've lost the moral initiative. You've got I'm in total agreement with you. Obviously, you know, I'm cheering for Donald more, but I watch this guy shoot himself in the foot over and over and over. And he does it to us at the same time. And I'm like, man, the stakes are too high for your Donald Trump nonsense right now.
Yeah.
Stay on script and quit saying bombastic, ludicrous stuff. Just be the adult in the room and let them talk and look at the American people and go, here are your choices.
Like the State of the Union. I mean, I think for the most part, he was the adult in the room and did that. And I would like to see that much more from him. But 100%. Even if he was like that all the time, they would still paint him as the most dangerous man on planet Earth. I mean, they're going to do it anyway.
These are people advocating for states to have the ability to take your children and sexually mutilate them.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with an honest dealer on the other side of the table, right?
No.
So like you said, whatever he does, we've joked before and said if he cured cancer, all of a sudden everybody'd be talking about make cancer great again.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, I have a right to die from cancer. Hands off my body, Donald.
That was a really funny one. It was Sarah Gonzalez. Anyway, she was interviewing this person they were having a protest about gay rights or something like that. And, you know, we people on the, I can't remember what she said, but queer, the things they're advocating for will not allow queer people to have autonomy over their bodies. And she looks at them and she's like, you mean like it won't allow them to cut off their own body parts?
Yeah.
And the girl kind of like, look, well, she didn't have anything to say. And you're like, that's where we've gotten now.
Yeah.
Like you're saying that we are trying to kill human rights because we don't want children's body parts cut off. Like that's where we're at.
People still vote for the other side though. It's just wild. All right, Zach Abraham. Deep breaths, buddy. Deep breaths, buddy. We'll see you next week.
God help us.